And so, did you just want me to say dispatches from the underground? Dispatches from the underground.
Dispatches from the underground.
With your host,
Joey Steele. Up to no good. We're good? I don't know.
Question authority.
Dispatches from the underground.
Question everything.
Dispatches from the underground!
Happy May Day, everybody. Happy International Workers' Day. Happy May 1st to everybody out there. Welcome to Dispatches from the Underground. I'm your host, Joey Steele. Thanks for getting down with us. We're coming at you from the underground in New York City. That's where we are. This is what we do. I'm glad you could join us down here. Happy May 1st, everybody. Happy International Workers' Day. This is a day that we celebrate people all around the world who are working very hard to build this world and make it what it is. To me, it's the most important. It is the most special. It is the best day of the year. And one of the reasons that it is the best day of the year is because people all around the world leave those jobs, go out and raise flags, not of their country, but of the things that they most value in their lives, their ideologies, their ambitions, the things that they dream about, the world that they wish they could bring into being. They raise those flags, they march around, and they express solidarity with people who don't live next to them. And I love this fucking day because it's the one day of the year that nobody could tell us what to do. This is a day that we are always protesting here in New York City. There's always protests wherever we are. And it's our fucking day. Like, the rest of the time belongs to these capitalist pieces of shit, but this is like the one fucking day. So it is extremely sad that we are all sort of like even more alienated than usual in our homes and away from each other, and we can't be out there in the streets where we should be with each other. But it sort of does make sense. I mean, on one level, it feels like weird celebrating International Workers' Day when so many of us don't have jobs right now and we're not working in the first place. But on the other side, I do feel like the celebrating in this condition sort of captures where capitalism is right now, like in this moment or in this stage or however you want to put that. We are all in this together, but we are all apart, right? Like, we're all building this world together, but we're all sort of atomized and alienated from each other. We're all dependent on each other on like the deepest levels. We all need each other on the deepest levels, but we don't think we do. We're separated. We're stuck away from each other. So on one level, maybe celebrating May Day in this way forces us to think more about each other and how much we need each other and how much we depend on each other. But on another level, maybe it's just poetic justice about the state of capitalism today and condition that we find ourselves in. Either way, I am super happy to be celebrating my May Day with you. I will be doing a live stream as part of Coping with Dystopia 7 on May 1st. So if you're listening to this before May 1st, you can go and hit up Coping with Dystopia 7, and I will be doing a live stream of some spoken word stuff, of some lyrics I've done in the past. And you can come hang out with me actually on May Day, which would be wonderful if people dig that. It would be super sweet to see a bunch of people coming in and hanging out with us actually on May 1st. So thank you to April and Danielle for organizing a very political Coping with Dystopia 7 on May 1st. You can find it on Facebook and YouTube. I'm sure you just type in Coping with Dystopia. I'm pretty sure it's segment 7. So either way, it's May 1st, and that is May Day, and that is what we're celebrating here on this episode of Dispatches from the Underground. And the exciting thing about this May Day in this particular condition that we're in with COVID-19 and this quarantine is there's a lot of people who generally don't think about capitalism or don't understand capitalism or don't understand the condition of, you know, labor economy or communism or anarchism or any of these other isms in the world. People don't typically think about those things, have it more on their mind. And this is a good opportunity for us to understand ourselves, but also understand them better and hopefully get in touch with them and try to challenge them and challenge ourselves to be more clear about who we are, what we want, what kind of world we're trying to bring into being, and of course, how we can get rid of capitalism. Because this moment does not happen that often where people are consciously thinking about the term capitalism, let alone changing the fundamental ways that we all interact with each other and work together and rely on each other. This is a crazy moment. People are thinking about this, consciously thinking about this, and they have the time to do it. So this is a pretty special May Day this year, 2020. I know a lot of people are down in the dumps. I get it. I'm stressed out too. I know this is like self-promotional bullshit, but I would like to encourage people to go back to the last Dispatchers from the Underground episode, the episode before this one. It was a very long episode, but we walk through sort of trying to get a grip on the emotions and the stress of this times. And, you know, obviously we're just talking about it. Obviously everyone has their own personal things that they're working through. I get it. At least, you know, I get it on some level. And everyone's dealing with that, but I do think that our minds are just kind of reeling out of control, and we have to get a grip of those emotions and our thoughts. And I think we did a pretty good job of doing that on the last episode. So we're moving on a little bit from that. So if you're still in that state, if you're still in that condition, and you're just not really sure how to even think straight in this time, I want to encourage you to go back to that last Dispatch from the Underground episode. It's very long, but it's got a lot of great substance in it. You know, listen to it in different chunks, a little bit at a time, and maybe get out a pencil and paper and take some notes, not just about what's being said, but your reflections in relation to it. I'm not breaking the sound barrier on any new thoughts in that episode, but I am walking through with different people from different parts of the world on how to get a grip. So I think we did a good job. That's not what we're doing on this episode. Today, I want to talk a little bit about capitalism, because it is May Day, and I am fucking excited on this holiday. I don't care if I'm locked inside a quarantine or not. I am excited that there are people out there thinking about changing capitalism and getting rid of it and getting to a better world. And I'm excited about that happening this day, which happens this day every year. But and especially this year, especially 2020, when there's so many new people who are thinking about it for the first time, I think this is exciting. I think this is a really great fucking time of the year. I'm super happy for it to be May Day. I'm super happy to have y'all listening in. Maybe I'll approach that topic of new people thinking about alternatives to capitalism from a self-criticism point of view, because it's something I've been thinking about a little bit lately. I do find myself getting a little bit bitter at times and sort of not being able to get over the fact that, you know, the idea that all of a sudden all of these people who didn't give a fuck about workers before, all these people who just went about their day selfishly consuming everything around them and didn't give a shit, are all of a sudden now praising their fellow workers and projecting this sense that they care about their community, when before it didn't feel like they did. But all of a sudden people get sick and now they care. Now things change. But I have a self-criticism myself, because, you know, I'm finding myself being a little confused by that, and it just feels really petty. Look, I'm not talking about the performative commercials that we see. Maybe some of it is that everybody's being performative about their compassion right now. Maybe that's true. There's some obvious ones in these fucking big corporations doing these commercials thanking the essential workers and thanking hospital employees as a way for them to remind us about the products that we're supposed to be consuming. Right, they project this performative sense of caring, while at the same time they say, like, remember to shop at CVS. It's fucking ridiculous and disgusting and gross. Obviously, those are the worst of them. But for a lot of people, it's not performative. And I find myself embittered by that thought at times. Like, oh, I was thinking about these conscious anti-capitalist things before. We cared about workers. You know, and doesn't make me feel good. Don't like that feeling. I think that it captures hold of me at times, and it's pretty gross. And I think we just got to shake that off. Like, look, we should be happy that people are thinking about capitalism and alternatives to capitalism. And maybe they don't have as sophisticated thoughts as we do. Or maybe they have some things that we have overlooked because we've been thinking about this for so terribly long that we haven't been reexamining those thoughts. But I just think we should be appreciative of the fact that there are so many people rethinking this. Don't let the bitterness get a hold of you. I know that jaded sense, that cynical sense, got a hold of me at times, but we got to shake it loose. And we're expecting those people to change. We're expecting them to give up their ideas that they've held for so terribly long, something that's been central to them. Capitalism works. The individual is the essential unit of society. We're expecting them to give up those thoughts. We also should be reconsidering some of our own prejudices and thinking going into these things. And one of the main things is we should be happy as hell, not jaded or cynical or bitter, that people are now appreciating workers and now starting to care. All right. So don't let yourself feel bitter. That's something that has gotten a hold of me a little bit. There's a little self-criticism. I think that's fine. Look, it hasn't been the main thing I've been thinking about. I haven't been like some curmudgeon fuck walking around mumbling to myself about how much I am an amazing anti-capitalist and how bitter I am that other people are starting to think about these things and starting to care about people. I'm just saying, like, I think in the back of my mind, there's been a little sense of it. So, you know, I've just been trying to be a little bit more conscious of when I feel these things. And sometimes it'll be like reading someone's comments on Facebook and whatever, and there'll be a flash of like bitterness. And I'm like, wait, why the fuck am I upset about this? Like, this is someone's understanding. They're talking about capitalism. They're talking about alternatives to capitalism. I'm excited about this. I should be happy about this. It just seizes me a little bit sometimes. And I can imagine other people out there are feeling the same way. We should be happy. We should be applauding the fact that people are doing this. And I know that those feelings can creep up on us in weird times and weird places. And maybe we just have to like get a better grip on ourselves and how to relate to these people who are all of a sudden coming into these new thoughts about alternatives to capitalism and critiques of capitalism. There are so many people who are staying home. They're not worried about their economic futures. They've willingly sacrificed their personal economic future for the betterment of everybody around them. They're paying attention to the news now more than ever, maybe in the history of the entire world, but definitely in their personal lives. They're critically thinking about science and the scientific method and how to scientifically assess things that are happening around them. And, you know, this is something that I think a lot of us are overlooking. There are people wearing masks, and they're not doing that for themselves. They're doing that for the people around them because it's very little of it is actually helping themselves. They're doing that for other people. Look, I know a bunch of us are pissed off there aren't other people wearing masks. They're not doing it more, but we should still appreciate the fact that a lot of them are. We leftists like to think everybody's just a selfish, mindless piece of shit sometimes, and it's just not true. And today, May Day, we get to celebrate this. Everything that's happening, people are consciously thinking about science. People are consciously thinking about other folks around them. They're consciously criticizing capitalism. And a bunch of us feel maybe not great about that. Maybe we don't know how to feel good about that, but we should feel fucking awesome. What a great May Day gift to 2020. I know things are horrible, but the capitalist economy is exploding. People are consciously thinking about people around them in their community. They're figuring out science for the first time in 20 years or whatever they haven't used it in, and they're thinking about the world in a different way. I'm fucking stoked about that. I'm excited about that. I'm happy it's May Day, and I think there's a lot of other people out there who, you know, for very good reasons, they feel bummed out, they feel negative, and I get that. I totally get that. Please go back and listen to the last episode we did on Dispatches, because I went through a myriad of those emotions, and it still creeps up on me all the time, including this weird feeling of bitterness sometimes that people are coming forward. It happens to us. But I think the main thing we should feel right now is fucking, like, some excitement about the potential for the future, and these uncertain times. I know the uncertainty is scary for a lot of folks out there who crave that stability, but maybe this is a chance for us to really get to know the people around us, the negative elements of them, the positive elements of them, and think about ourselves a little bit differently. Think about them a little bit differently. Consciously really go into these ideas with excitement. I'm fucking stoked. It's International Workers Day. And there's people actually out there physically applauding essential, quote, essential workers. People who have been essential for a long time because they're holding our society together. They're out there performing a job that keeps us all being able to get the things we need to get. But finally, there's people who just consume and never gave them a look twice who are applauding them. I don't know. There's a lot of horrible shit, and maybe I'm being like too optimistic because it's May Day and I get all excited about, you know, pulling on the good strings and the good contradictions in front of us. And I know we could look at that situation at these essential workers being applauded and think that might be in some, you know, patronizing way, or that it's not genuine. Maybe it's performative. We talked a little bit about this earlier. Or that those people who are applauding aren't actually thinking about the fundamental ways that we need to change our capitalist functions and our capitalist lifestyle and our capitalist society to actually genuinely appreciate those, quote, essential workers, unquote. So I get that. We could look at things that way. but they're at least applauding, right? So we can't, maybe we don't get everything we want in the first fucking second, but at least they're applauding. They're thinking about it. They're thinking about those workers. And I am hopeful for the future because we've taken some baby steps here. And I think we just need to pull on those contradictions and hopefully we'll all be moving forward together in the very near future to a world we'd actually want to live in, one that deserves our hard work and not this capitalist nonsense that we're living in. Anyway, I could go on and on endlessly about my reflection of this moment in capitalism and the world we're living in, and I'm going to get to that again later, but I don't want this episode to be my voice nonstop. I want to listen to a submission that we received. I don't know if you remember, recently I asked for people to send me videos that they made themselves of their reflections about what's going on around them. And we've had a few of them. Please continue to send me those. I know I haven't gotten to all of them that have been sent to me. We are going to get to those. Continue to send me those videos of you talking about what's happening around you, your thoughts that are happening right now, and we will get to them as soon as we can. You could send those to dftunderground@gmail.com. That's DFT, as in dispatches from the underground, at gmail.com. dftunderground@gmail.com, or you can hit me up on any social media platform and holler at me at the best way to get me those videos. This is a submission from a friend of mine, Divin. Divin, I know from the New York City punk scene, although he's not originally from here. He dated a dear, dear friend of mine for a long, long time. While they stopped dating, I stayed in touch with Divin here and there, and he sent me this submission. Divin is currently in a rehab facility. He is over 100 days sober. He's been doing a great job. I know Divin, so when I hear this, I'm sure you're going to hear the frustration in his voice, but I also hear the clarity in his voice, and it's nice to hear the guy who I knew come back to life and in these words. So I really appreciate the clear-headedness and his approach to this, and it's just nice to hear his voice. But I wanted to air this particular submission because I feel like Divin is touching on something a lot of people are thinking about, and he's touching on something, although albeit in his particular situation, that I think a lot of people are interacting with. So we're going to take a minute, we're going to listen to a tune, and then we're going to get to Divin talking about his reflections while being in a rehab facility. Get down. Before we get to Divin's submission, I want to take a minute and remember a buddy who passed away this week. Nick from the band Noogie, is a band from Texas called Noogie, an incredible band. I've had the privilege of playing with Noogie a few times. They're phenomenal. Nick was an amazing drummer. Sadly, Nick passed away this past week. He was a wonderful guy. I didn't know him super well, but he seemed like a stand-up dude. He was a blast to be around, and the time that I did spend with him, I enjoyed every minute of it. And it's a huge loss for their community down there. It's a huge loss for music. He was an amazing drummer, and obviously those closest to Nick, our hearts go out to you, his friends, his bandmates. So we're going to listen to this song featuring Nick on drums from a band in Texas called Noogie. So here's Noogie. Get down. Yes, 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 my heart. Service, pay no mind at all.
got like a butt with spare, like some change. I'm just trying to get a butt ice or something.
So I wanted to air Divin's thoughts here, and then we're going to have a little bit of discussion. So here's Divin talking about his reflections while being in a rehab facility. Get down.
Yeah, so Divin, I'm in a TC drug rehabilitation program called Pride Site, and it's pretty fucked up. I mean, you've got like 75 junkies in a building, all of them don't know anything and believe every conspiracy theory and shit, and the staff doesn't help at all. Seems like they intentionally stir the pot and try and do shit to get clients in trouble or kicked out. It's chaotic. They put us on rations for like everything. We're confined to our rooms, mostly for the whole thing. I mean, don't go outside, none of that shit. And, you know, everyone is just ignorant about the whole situation and believing everything that's on the news. More concerned about their free $1,200 check. Just totally ignorant about everything, and everyone seems to know everything about a pandemic, a global pandemic, and coronavirus and everything. But yeah, so it sucks. Really bad.
First, I want to say thanks to Divin for sending us this submission. I understand that you could have gotten in trouble even for just recording it, let alone sending it to us. So I really appreciate Divin taking that risk. And also, I really appreciate Divin taking time to do this reflection in the first place, because I really feel like in some ways we are all Divin. You know, like we think we are stuck in, I mean, Divin is actually stuck in this place. So in that sense, it's not thinking. But, you know, we see ourselves as being stuck in this place, surrounded by addicts who believe in these crazy conspiracy theories. And I feel like a lot of us feel that way right now about the people around us. Maybe that's because we're not being objective enough. We're not really appreciating the complexity of the people's thoughts around us. For whatever reason, I feel like a lot of us can identify with the situation that Divin is actually in. Except here's the thing. Divin knows where he is, right? So he knows the conditions that he finds himself in. He doesn't have the luxury to lie to himself like the rest of us do. I think this is a really honest assessment of what he sees around him. He is stuck in this situation. I mean, we all feel stuck in our situations, but he is stuck in that situation, and he is at the whim of the people around him. I mean, he feels like the staff doesn't care. They're not there to help. He feels like the staff is just trying to get him and the people around him to maintain. I feel the same way a lot about the staff out here. the staff being the politicians, people who are enacting these new policies that we are obligated to live by. And I'm not trying to fucking say some conspiracy theory bullshit. We're going to talk about that in a second, about not following these policies. We should follow these policies. That's part of living in a fucking society, which I am totally for. We should follow these policies. My issue is that it feels like to me a lot of these politicians are doing what we were talking about earlier, these performative caring. They're not really explaining enough what their thinking is behind these policies. Let's take for example the 6 foot policy, this policy that we're supposed to be standing 6 feet apart. I am highly suspect and have been since the first moment that this policy was enacted. Why 6 feet? I'm not a scientist, but based on my experiences, 6 feet makes no fucking sense. But everybody's obsessing about this 6 feet thing. And they're not thinking about the fact that maybe their air is reaching far more than 6 feet. So if it's not true that 6 feet is actually the thing, right? Maybe, and it seems like now the scientists are coming out and saying it's more like 10 feet minimum between people. Now, scientists have actually come out and said this. I'm not making this up. This is not Joey Steele science, although I like to think of myself as a scientist sometimes. I'm actually not one. And while I'm suspect, I have been following the 6 foot rule, even though I find it pretty suspicious. I think it's much more, not less. I think it's much more than that. And scientists are now saying that it probably is much, much more than that. And if you're running or if you're biking, it's more like 10 meters between people and 20 meters. That's 30 and 60 feet between people. It's just like these policymakers said these things because they wanted to look like they care. They wanted to look more like they could maintain the position of power that they have been given. They wanted to look like they were in charge and on top of things. So they came out with these affirmative policies, 6 feet, wear masks, then you'll be okay, without actually fucking knowing what they're talking about. And that's a huge problem. That's a huge fucking problem. We should know the answers to these things, because once these capitalists have gone out there and said those things, right, people are listening to them. So if they have to change that now and it's more like 10 feet, we're all in the 6 feet bubble and we can't get that past ourselves. I just think that a lot of the staff out here don't actually care. They care more about maintaining their own power and maintaining, I hate to use the word hierarchy, for lack of a better term, maintaining this hierarchy of power, maintaining the status quo so that people will continue to look to them for answers. When they don't actually have answers, they're just repeating some fucking BuzzFeed news article or some fucking half-assed science thing they looked up for fucking 12 seconds on trying to figure out what to say to people. It's bullshit. They should say they don't fucking know. They should say they're not sure of the answers. They should say that they're going to look into it more before telling us 6 feet. Anyway, I'm really frustrated with the staff out here, as well as Divin pointed out. They just feel like they're trying to maintain. All right, but you know, I have a lot more to say about that, but I'm going to put that off to another episode where we're talking about more about the politicians who, in their response to COVID-19. Let's talk a little bit about some other things that Divin was talking about. He talked a little bit about conspiracy theories. Obviously, we see all these right-wing organizations who are organizing people to protest capitals, and we saw Trump tweet out the other day that he wanted to liberate Virginia and liberate Michigan and liberate Wisconsin, which was fucking nuts. I don't know how that wasn't seen as like an act of war from the president or some fucking crazy shit. I mean, it was just crazy. But, you know, we see these conspiracy theory nuts who have just taken it upon themselves to no longer be part of a society. These people are actual conspiracy theory nut jobs. They're fucking selfish, petty pieces of shit who are making a statement about liberty in the face of not tyranny, but in the face of a state encroaching upon their civil liberties because they think it's for the betterment of everybody else. And you see people going out there saying they want haircuts and everything, but you also see them holding signs like "this is communism," which is stupid because it's not, obviously, has nothing to do with the economic system. They're not taking state ownership of things, although they have enacted like the Defense Production Act and things like that. It's not state communism. They're just talking about the distribution of those things. Anyway, this is not communism. What they're talking about is they think that these are the first steps to us moving toward communism. I fucking wish that was happening, but that is not going to happen. That is not what these are the first steps to. It is, interestingly enough, the first step to people appreciating others beyond the individual. And I think that's what these conspiracy theory nuts have been rebelling against. They're going out there because they feel like everybody else needs to be reminded that individual liberties are important. Because everybody else is starting to get the sense that maybe individual liberties aren't as important as, I don't know, taking care of other human beings or not exploiting them at their jobs and maybe even considering them as being important people, not just essential workers. I think that a lot of these conspiracy theory nuts and the people who are pushing them to do these crazy libertarian, selfish, individualist protests, they can feel the wind moving in a direction that goes against their interests. And that's why they're calling for them. And that's why they're making signs like this is communism, is because they feel the wind going against their right-wing nonsense. And in some sense, I think we should be paying attention to them more, not that we should take up their ideas and their outlook, but we should be paying attention to the things that they're saying, because their feelings and their fears of individual liberty being curtailed is actually kind of a good thing. I'm not saying curtailing individual liberty is a good thing. I just think that their fear of it can show us that there's a lot of people who are interested more in the betterment of society than individual liberty. So I feel like Divin, while he is in a rehab center, he is very in tune with the fact that people are obsessing about these conspiracy theories. I do want to say that I think we should listen to these people who have conspiracy theories. And I know that's annoying. I think they're disgusting conspiracy theories. But we should engage them. Because if we don't engage them, at least with rational people, not with the fucking trolls on the internet, but with people we know, if you know family members who are interested in these conspiracy theories or interested in these right-wing movements or interested in the idea of liberty being curtailed in this moment, I really hope people are engaging with those folks and not just wafting them away as being right-wing tools and nuts. They are right-wing tools and nuts. But we should be able to talk about how the nature of conspiracy theories is this selfish impulse to fucking impose an understanding on something in a very self-centered way. Anyway, I've talked a lot about conspiracy theories on the podcast before, and if people are interested, I could talk about them more, but that's not the main thing Divin was talking about. He just touched on this point of conspiracy theories, and I thought it was a really valid insight into what we are all dealing with out here, which is the fact that there are nut jobs out there who are wafting these conspiracy theories everywhere, and we should engage them, not just dismiss them, despite all of the inclinations in our body, because we need to bring people forward. And that's the actual real point, not just the conspiracy theory shit, right? But we feel like we're right. Like, we feel like we have so much right in our minds. We know so much. Sure, we do know things. But we need to divide what we know and what is our perspective. And also, I guess, what we don't know, because there's a bunch of that too. Politicians and the conspiracy theory people, none of them are really dividing these different sections out. And I think Divin fell into this trap a little bit too. And I think that's part of why the frustration seizes us, right? Because we need to know what we know is true and then know what is our perspective. So when we talk to someone, we can help them identify actual scientific objective facts, and also that we all need to deal with, because these false fact people, these fake news people, have just riddled their brains with the inability to grasp actual objective facts, and they've sort of superimposed their own perspectives and our perspectives all mixed together in being able to understand those things. We have to be able to unweave that a little bit, and in order to do that, we need to engage those folks and, like, help them see what is a fact and what is our perspective. Let's give people the benefit of the doubt. I'm not saying we take up the perspective. I'm not even saying that we acquiesce to their set of facts of what's happening in this world. But let's give people the benefit of the doubt. Let's assume that they know something. Maybe not facts, but they know something, at least in their experiences, that is based on facts. And let's listen to them. let's understand them. And I know Divin, he wants to dismiss people as ignorant, as idiots. I have that feeling too. I think we all do. We want to dismiss them as backwards and fucking pieces of shit. I get that. But let's listen to them and let's try to like see if there's any facts in there that we can understand and agree on. If there's any perspective on there that we commonly share. And if not, let's identify how their perspective is genuinely different from ours. And then from that vantage point, let's talk to them. Not attack them, but like talk about our actual differences. Let's make it clear what their perspective is and what our perspective is and how they're different. And then that way, when they proceed, whether they agree with us or don't agree with us or violently hate us at that given time, then when they proceed, they have a clear understanding at least what they're thinking and their outlook that that represents and how we think differently. And then they can change later if they choose to, or they can reassess later. What does that put us at risk to do? Like, it doesn't make us ignorant. As long as we're sure about our thoughts and we know that we're right, it doesn't put us at risk for uptaking their fucking backward-ass, dumb-ass ideas. But we actually have to listen to them. We actually have to know what they're saying. We have to understand it. We have to be able to get to the center of that perspective. And that takes some reflection on our side, but it also takes some engagement between our side and their side. And I think we have to be sure about our ideas, because I don't want people to engage them if we're not like clear on what our thoughts are in terms of putting the interests of everyone in the world above the interests of an individual. And I think that's where we are on that front. And I talked to Divin a little bit about this after he submitted this. We were able to talk a little bit on Messenger, and I asked him if there was anything he could get people to think differently about, because he was really frustrated with the people he was interacting with. If there was anything that he could get people to think differently about, what would it be? And his response to me was that they not be so selfish and not rely on mainstream news so much. And he mentioned Fox and I think ABC particularly. Obviously, I agree with him on the mainstream media. That's why I do this podcast. I think it's really important people not rely on mainstream media. I think they should rely on media that encourages them to think consciously and critically and doesn't like lie to them about being some bullshit objective source of information. That's very rare that you're going to find some objective source of information. That everyone has a bias, including the people who are reporting the news to you. So I think it's really important that people rely on different streams of media and get it from different perspectives so they can make an assessment on their own. But it's really hard for people to not be selfish. I think it's really good that Divin was able to put those two issues as the forefront. I think that those probably are two of the most important issues that everybody's dealing with. But people have been bombarded their entire lives precisely by that mainstream media to be selfish. And in a crisis and in a moment where everything is sort of up for grabs, people don't know how to act. They don't know how to interact. They don't know who they are. They don't know where they are. They don't know what they're supposed to do. People are reverting to the things that they most understand. And that selfish expression is key to almost everybody, at least in the United States, is understanding of who they are. It's super hard to get past that selfishness. It is in everybody. And in fact, that last episode we did, where we talked a little bit about the thought process of getting through this initial reflection period on COVID-19, I talked about my own selfishness. And I think it grips all of us. I encourage you to all go back and listen to that last episode. But selfishness is something that everybody is going to be going through in this moment. They're scared, right? They're scared. They're confused. They're not knowing what to do. They don't know how to overcome that selfishness. Maybe they even don't like themselves. Maybe they wish they could take up another perspective, but they don't even know they are being selfish. They're just operating, fight or flight mentality. They're operating on their instincts. And I think it takes us going to them and not just pointing it out, like not just like pointing out how fucked up and dumb their thoughts are. Although that might give us some comfort. It always just gives us a little bit of comfort to see how wrong other people are. I get that. But there's no virtue in being right, right? There's no virtue in being correct. The virtue is in helping them to see they are wrong and wanting change. Or maybe we're wrong and then they can change us. But take yourself out of the situation. If they're being selfish, if the issue is selfishness, then don't let yourself get wrapped up in it. Take yourself out of the situation, right? Be conscious, be empowering, think things through carefully, don't just hold on to your ideas and beat someone in the face with it. And I see a lot of leftists and liberals doing that right now. They're just fucking stoked that they're right, and they're just touting it and beating the shit out of everybody around them and feeling great about themselves. But that doesn't really do anything, because that sort of reinforces the selfishness we're talking about. They just feel good for being right. That's great. Go feel good for being right, but it doesn't really accomplish anything. Take yourself out of the situation. Don't let them be your ideas or their ideas. Just let them be ideas. And that gives everybody a little bit of space in this situation, right? Because if you feel personally attacked, if you feel personally attached to those ideas and then personally attacked because of them, you're not going to be changing them, because they're not just ideas. They're your whole perspective. They're your whole everything. They're your whole identity. And that's not going to change. Right? So try to separate these two things. Try to divide the person from the ideas. Maybe give people a little bit of room to move. Give people a chance to take up those ideas. Because if they feel like they're trapped in a corner, they're not going to be doing that. Take the self out of it. Try to take yourself out of it, take them out of it, and try to look at this situation differently. So I went back to Divin and I talked to him a little bit about this stuff. And I asked him what he feels he can do to help open up a conversation about selfishness with the folks around him. Divin is an extremely shy guy. He's not sure what he could do to bring it up. He's not a big talker. But he thought maybe he could try to set up some sort of meetings for people to talk about these things. I suggested maybe trying to do some art projects that just got people to do something, make something for someone other than themselves. Or, you know, another idea that I have about this topic is, you know, trying to get people to reflect on the best moments of their lives. Because I think for most people, the best moments of their lives are very rarely some selfish experience. It's usually a very selfless experience. So I think taking a chance to reflect on the best moments of our lives, and then they see themselves as not just these selfish beings, and that gives us an opportunity to talk about those things. I think that those are really good things. I'm not sure Div's going to be able to do that. I'm not sure he can. I mean, he's working on his sobriety in the first place, and I think that being able to be conscious is an important part of this, and being able to control your mind is an important part of that. So I applaud him for just doing that. I think that's an important step in this process. But I think Divin is right in assessing selfishness and the role of the mainstream media in our lives as the pinnacle element that is causing people to think so backwardly. I just think Divin is missing the fact that there are so many other people who are thinking in a good way. People we talked about at the beginning of the episode, people who are appreciating workers for the first time, people who are wearing masks, people who are not thinking selfishly, people who are breaking with this individualist mentality, people who have sacrificed their financial futures. And it's important, while we want to combat those more backward strains that we're seeing around this selfishness, that we don't lose sight of the fact that other people, a lot of other people, are straining to drop some of those backward ideas, and trying to find a balance of appreciating that and nurturing it, talking about it, being more conscious of it, and using that consciousness to help lean on some of the other folks who are being a little bit more backward, a little bit less reflective, to encourage them to be more reflective and a little bit more conscious. I think that's the right process to do this. So I hope Divin is able to do that with some of the folks he is stuck with in rehab. I hope everybody listening in is able to do that with the people around them who they think are a little bit selfish, and they think are a little bit self-centered, and they think are a little bit stuck in maybe right-wing ideas and thoughts. Hopefully you can reach out to those folks, engage them, and try to get them to talk about the big changes they're seeing in society, the struggle between individualism and collectivity, the struggle between people giving up some individual freedoms and forced to live in a very difficult situation, and their economic futures for the betterment of society. Talk about those things. Talk about the best moments in their lives, and how so often they aren't about a selfish need, but rather a selfless act. I think that's a great place to go to. I think it's really challenging for us to be stuck in these moments and realize that we have an impact on the things around us. We can lead people to take up and change their outlooks and ideas, and that we have to. in some ways, especially if we see them being wrong. How can we approach them and not just make ourselves feel better because we're right, but in actuality take ourselves out of the situation and hopefully have an impact on them and the situation itself? Those are the things that Divin's submission got me thinking about, and hopefully my reflections on his reflections got you reflecting on things yourselves. And hopefully you can go and interact with the people around you who may not have the same ideas and feel a little bit more encouraged to lose yourself in that process and a little more free to just let the ideas speak for themselves. Take up the new ones, leave the old ones, and move forward together. Hopefully. That's where I was. Let's take another break for a second. Let's listen to a tune, and then we're gonna wrap this episode up. Get down. I want to take a break. I want to listen to another tune. This is a tune from one of my favorite bands in the entire world, not only as musicians, but also as people. They just released a brand new album May 1st. Well, are releasing, or did release, depending on what side of May 1st you're listening to this podcast on. The new album is called Show Me the Blueprints. It was released on Fat Wreck. It's an incredible album. It's an incredible band, and I love this song. They've been playing this song for a year or so now. I've had the privilege of hearing it many times because I've been on the road with them. So this song you might have heard if you've seen them live. But if you haven't seen them live in the relatively near past, then you probably haven't heard it. So you can go and get this new song off of their new album starting today, May 1st. This is from Show Me the Blueprints. Here is their song, My Darling Dopamine, which will now be stuck in your fucking heads for the next 6 months because it's incredible. So here it is, My Darling Dopamine by Days and Days from the new record, Show Me the Blueprints. Get down.
Fucking old, I just want out.
right, that's the end of the episode. I want to say a huge thank you to Divin for submitting this thoughtful reflection that he sent us. I really appreciate it. I want to say thanks to everybody else who's continued to send in their submissions. Please continue to do so. We will get to them. I'm going to be doing more podcasts in the relatively near future. Send your videos of your thoughts and reflections about what's going on right now. Send them to DFT Underground. That's DFT Underground at gmail.com, and we will get to them as soon as we can. I want to say thanks to everybody out there who is listening to the thoughts that we're putting out and going and ordering things off of our website. I know everybody's economically squeezed right now, but we still have had a steady stream of people buying merch on the Dispatchers from the Underground merch page. So thank you all very much for that. Please, if you do have some income and you can dispose of it in this direction, I would really appreciate it. Go to dispatchersfromtheunderground.com. There's a merch section. There's also a donate button. If you are more inclined to just help us keep this podcast going, I would deeply appreciate that as well. I want to say thanks to Casey, Gabe, Lauren, and G-Fresh who continually help this podcast exist. Thank you all very much for your hard work and dedication and thoughtfulness. I really appreciate it. I also want to say thanks to people who haven't been able to contribute but have still been posting this show around on their social media. That helps a lot. Please rate us, review us. Go to iTunes, wherever you listen to podcasts, and leave a glowing review of this show. Let people know that you listen to it in some way or another. And even if you can't do or won't do any of those things, I'd appreciate people just listening. I appreciate people sending me their thoughts and their commentaries and disagreements. I really do. I know this is a really difficult time for us all, and I'm pushing people to be more vulnerable and more reflective, and it's hard enough just to get through the day as is. So I hope the things we're talking about on this podcast are helping make you stronger, or helping empower you, or helping you be more conscious. I think you who listen to this are all the best people in the world. So I think the world of you, and I appreciate all of your hearts and minds tuning into this show every so often. Thank you all very much. We have a lot more to talk about. We're going to be doing more episodes in the very near future. And hopefully we'll be celebrating the destruction of capitalism next May Day and the construction of a whole new way to relate to each other economically. Wouldn't that be a wonderful May Day present for 2021? Wouldn't that be something special? You know, there's nothing wrong with dreaming a little bit. Let's see if we can make that happen. But it's not going to happen if we don't get past ourselves. Get past personalizing all of these ideas that we have and just holding on to them and clinging on to them for dear life. If we hold on to bitter feelings of other people who are becoming conscious, getting down with these thoughts that we hold so dearly and maybe muddying them up a little bit, whatever. It's not going to happen if we don't confront all of these things, not only in other people, but in ourselves. So hopefully this show and the things that we're talking about, the things that we're doing are helping you do that hard, difficult work of confronting the people around you, bringing people together, and maybe helping them get over themselves to see that there's a better future worth dreaming about, worth fighting for, and worth living for. That's my hope, that this podcast is part of your reflective process, and hopefully we can get to that in 2021 or the near future. Again, we're going to be doing a live stream on May 1st. If you're listening to this podcast before May 1st, we're going to be doing a live stream on May 1st called Coping with Dystopia 7. There's been 6 before. This is the 7th one. It's an explicitly political one. I am very honored to be included in it. I want to say thank you to all the organizers who have put this forward and have been working on it to keep our community together and keep our community engaged and entertained. I really appreciate that. Thank you very much. You can look for it on Facebook and on Instagram and on YouTube. Coping with Dystopia 7. I'm sure the footage of it will be up after May 1st as well. So thank you all to everybody who put that together. And we'll see you on May Day. And if not, we'll be back in the very near future with another episode. So until then, get down. Before we finish this episode, I want to listen to one last tune. This is a tune from a band called Race Traitor. They just released a 4-way split with Neckbeard Death Camp, Closet Witch, and a band, I think they're called Hagathorn, although I'm not exactly sure how to pronounce that. I had a chance to do the background vocals on this tune. It was recorded at Jesse Cannon's Found Soundation studio in Brooklyn. Jesse Cannon's an incredible producer, an amazing, amazing human being. I was super happy to be able to go over there and do some of the background vocals for this incredible tune from Race Traitor. This is their song Round Lake off of that new split. Also, I want to mention they have another song called Sarcophagus. I think it is their best song ever. They just released a new video for it. You can check out that video if you search for Sarcophagus and Race Traitor online. It's fucking phenomenal. The whole split is fantastic. I was super honored to be hollered at by Monty from this band to come do background vocals. I'm not entirely sure they kept my background vocals in there, but they're probably so profound that they're hard to even keep track of. But the song itself didn't really need my little touches, but it was an honor to be included on it anyway. So here is a song called Round Lake by Race Traitor. Get down.